Welcome into another edition of the Commitment Issues / Godfather and Gorney podcast. I'm Woody Womack, joined by Mike Farrell. Mike, it's a crossover event. The people have spoken. They want to see me and you on a podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what they want. Well, they're going to get, we're going to probably tick off a lot of people. So I don't know where you want to start, positive or negative. You let me know.
You're going to tick off a lot of people. I'm not controversial. You know me.
Talk about stuff. You're going to agree with on some things, and listen, there's nothing we can do. I mean, it's not our fault Florida State's down. It's not our fault UCF lost. It's not our fault Auburn's defense was overrated. You know, on and on and on. It's not our fault. We get blamed. It's not our fault.
All right, so let's start in the Big 12. Texas lost. They should have lost last week, too. So, I mean, where are we at in the Tom Herman experience? I know you like to put people on the hot seat, but, I mean, at what point do we start to get worried? This is – I think I saw this as at least his fifth loss against an unranked team when they were ranked and favored. So, I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, he's got to be on the hot seat. I mean, you know, everybody says with COVID and the pandemic that coaches are going to get more of a free ride than before. That's not the case, I don't think. I mean, if they continue to struggle, if they aren't, you know, a contender for the Big 12 title or the playoff, and right now, had they lost that Texas Tech game, which they should have, they'd be pretty much eliminated from everything right now. Then something's got to change. And I was a big Tom Herman supporter. I thought he was a good hire for Texas, a good replacement for Charlie Strong, and it just, that team doesn't seem to be buying in. I mean, you see kids quitting the team. You see kids jumping in the portal. And you also see that there's really been no great improvement with the two new coordinators on offense or defense. You've got a team that can make a run with Elliger. But I think Tom Herman's in big trouble. I think, you know, he has to win out. Not saying he's going to get fired if he doesn't win out, but if he loses, say he stumbles down the line and they lose to Iowa State near the end of the season, you know, and they finish with two losses and they don't have a chance to win the Big 12, what are they going to do?
Well, I mean, that's the issue, though, is like how many coaches can they cycle through here? I mean, I know it's only been a few years, but it's like I just don't get what the problem is. Like you said, they fired the whole defensive staff. The new staff comes in there, like you said, you know, we had BJ Foster quit the team briefly and come back. They had Kenyatta Watson say he's transferring. I mean, this is, it's an issue, right? When you're losing, whether these guys live up to their rankings or not, you're talking about talent leaving the program on a regular basis.
And it's honestly, it's not a hard job. That's the biggest thing. It's Texas. Tremendous facilities. You've got tremendous tradition and history. You're the big dog in the Big 12. You know, I did an article, series of articles on kids that left the state for each power state. And when you look at the 2017 class alone of the kids they lost, it's just amazing. I mean, we're talking about first rounders like Jeff Okuda. You're talking CeeDee Lamb. Marvin Wilson, of course, but everybody says, well, that's Houston Episcopal. They were never going to get him. Doesn't matter. I mean, these kids are in-state kids. They shouldn't be getting away, and it continues to happen. And Herman, you know, was known as a great recruiter at Ohio State, and Ohio State's been the one that's stolen most of the talent, J.K. Dobbins and some others. So it's not a difficult job to recruit the talent or to win in the Big 12, and nobody can seem to get it done. Charlie Strong doesn't count because it was a bad fit. You took a Southeast coach and you put him in the Big 12. He had no connections, and he tried to recruit the Southeast. But Tom Herman, I mean, he's the guy who helped go get JT Barrett and guys like that in Texas. This was a fit, and for some reason, he's just not getting it done.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But it's not like – I mean, I know the Big 12 has some good teams, but it should be between them and Oklahoma every year. And we can kind of transition now if you want to talk about Oklahoma. You know, I trolled you a little bit on Twitter. got a good reaction. Did you see it? A lot of people enjoyed my response. So
of course they did. Well, it was a dumb question. The question was, can someone explain to me how they're 1-2? And then all these idiots like you, because they gave up more points than they score or whatever. You know what? My thing is, with the talent discrepancy between Texas and Oklahoma and the rest of the Big 12, how do you lose to Kansas State and Iowa State back to back if you're Oklahoma? How is that possible? New quarterback? Yeah. So, you know, running game, lost, you know, a couple guys. You plug and play at Oklahoma and you should beat these teams handily. And again, the defense is not timely. And 1-2 is embarrassing. I could see 1-2 if you know, this was a regular season and your first game was at Ohio State and then you get tripped up in your third game, but these are not opponents you should be losing to. And this is no disrespect towards Kansas State and Iowa State. Iowa State's probably the sleeper in the conference right now with two good wins.
No, okay, please, let's not start it. They lost to Louisiana, okay?
I know, they beat Iowa State. Oh. I mean, Iowa State, they beat TCU, and now they beat Oklahoma.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Well, who is? Oklahoma State? I mean,
the whole conference is not good. That's sorry, Big 12. I got news for you. The Big 12 should be, you know how every year after 1 week we eliminate the Pac-12 from the playoff? The Big 12 is eliminated, in my opinion.
Probably so, unless Oklahoma State runs the table. Probably so.
Right. I would take one loss, Georgia or Alabama or whoever. I'd take two SEC teams. I might take 7-0 USC or Oregon, you know, over any of these one, because I mean Oklahoma's out. They're not, two loss Oklahoma's not getting in. The playoff dream is over for them.
It's over. It's over. It started and they're gonna take two from the SEC. We know that. They'll take none from the Pac-12 and they'll take you know, they might take two from the, I mean, one from the ACC, one from the Big Ten, and there's your playoff there. So I get it. You can't write off Oklahoma State yet because they could run the table, but the Big 12, and it's consistently the same thing. It's defense.
Well, right. So how is, you know, we saw a lot of talk, oh, Oklahoma's fast defense, and we know that their defensive coordinator, I mean, he's done good elsewhere. Their secondary is, I think they had like a combined 90 starts. I mean, why can't they get any better? I just don't get, like, they should have won that game. They should have won the last game against Kansas State. They had multi-score leads. The game the other night, they scored, and I was like, oh, they're going to pull away. I changed the channel. I came back, and they'd given up two touchdowns and were losing. So, I mean, it's just
The answer. You know, I've said 1,000 times, how do they keep recruiting – you know, 4 and 5 stars on defense and not developing, you know, and for every Kenneth Murray, there's a bookie, Radley Hiles, who just doesn't develop and doesn't live up to what you expect him to do. And I don't have a solution for it. I might guess it's, and I'm not at practice, but it's got to be the way they practice. You know, I know they're not hitting and all that other stuff, but there's a lack of spatial recognition. There's a lack of tackling form. There's a lack of physicality. You know, offensively, they have looked smooth as can be the last few years, but defensively. So my guess is, you know, they're practicing against an elite spread out offense. And if you throw any wrinkles at them, they're dead. But you'd think that would help them in the pass game, at least covering.
Right. Yeah. Like we're talking like, you have guys that should project as like NFL guys in the secondary. I mean, you can say that we missed on Radley Hiles, who was a 5-star and has been basically awful. I mean, last year, I think he got benched toward the end of the year and I was hoping for like a redemption year. But I mean, you know, the other night he got at least 2 pass interferences that I saw. And I mean, you'd at least think he could, like, play the nickel and come up and hit people. I mean, I just don't – it's – to me, it's – I'm not, like, a Big 12 hater, but, I mean, it's hard.
Well, you know how physical he is, too. I mean, that's the thing. So where did that go?
Yeah.
Is that Coach Dobby? I mean, he reminded me of Jamal Adams, you know, the way he played football. And then he goes off, and he's certainly as far away from Jamal Adams as possible. And I know you're talking different positions and stuff, but undersized thumper who can cover. And then we get this. So it's got to be a coaching issue. I mean, it can't be a – and everybody will say, well, you guys, you know, overrank them and all this other stuff. Maybe we do. I don't know. But, again, we're not out there coaching them and teaching them how to tackle, and it's just not happening. It's the whole Big 12, though. It's not just them.
Right, right. It's a major it's a major issue. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Auburn. They just got smoked. I mean, I came in thinking – I expected Georgia to win, but I was thinking we were looking at like a 19-16 type of game, you know, like a slugfest. I mean, and it became clear pretty early that Georgia just was going to, you know, steamroll them. I mean, that game was never even really in doubt.
Yeah, I predicted Auburn to win, so that shows how much I know. I really liked their defense going in, and their defense looked horrible. And, yeah, they lost Smoke Monday. KJ Britt was banged up, but you know, I thought with the depth of talent they had that they could replace Derek Brown and Marlon Davidson and, you know, get a pass rush and beat up a walk on back and stop a run game that didn't good in the first game. That offensive line just did whatever they wanted with them, moved them around. It was an embarrassing performance. There was no solution on offense whatsoever except for Tank Bigsby, who is going to be a star. I mean, man, they fed him the ball in the passing game and running, and He's going to be good, but Bo Nix looked like he was running for his life every second. He looked inconsistent and accurate, and he's like Stidham in that way, I guess. If you get pressure on him, he's going to struggle, and their offensive line looks just horrible. So I really bought in on Auburn, and that's my fault.
Well, we were, you know, talking when we were doing the transfer rankings, when they went and got the transfer offensive lineman, Brandon Council, and you were like, oh, he's going to, you know, step in and be whatever. But I mean, and I had said, like, he didn't even grade out that well at Akron or wherever he came from, I think it was Akron or Kent State or something. I mean, that's not a good sign in the SEC when you have to go find people from the MAC to come and play, right? I lost your video there. There we go. It's back.
It's not a good sign. This is a problem when you do Zooms on your phone. People call you, and it's all spam, crap, trying to sell you stuff from different numbers, and it just takes up your screen. So anyway, sorry about that. They'll probably call back, too, trying to sell me some Windows or something.
Anyway, Auburn, yeah. Offensive line. They're replacing both of their lines, basically, and it just wasn't – it was not pretty.
No, and he looked out of place. And that defense of Georgia is really special. You know, that's why the Georgia-Florida game is going to be very interesting, because Florida's defense doesn't look that great, but their offense looks awesome. So that's going to be an epic battle there. And, you know, that defense really stepped up and carried them in that game. And if they can run the football, you're not going to beat Georgia, because – that allows them to play into their strengths, and they've got a couple guys stepping up at wide receiver. Obviously, Pickens is a great player. So, I don't know. I mean, I thought Auburn was ready prime, and I was very, very wrong.
All right, let's talk about Georgia. So, the quarterback situation. The Georgia fan base seems ready to give Stetson Bennett the Heisman. Are you sold that he's going to be the guy? I mean, he obviously played well in these two games. So, I mean, do they let Daniels heal more? Does Daniels just sit? I mean, what happens?
You know, I think right now the job is his and he deserves it. JT Daniels was activated last week, but from what I was told, he was not mobile and not able to move around much and escape pressure. So I think they're going to go slow with him and see how this kid continues to play. And like I said, if they run, it's going to make it easier on him. And they do have, I mean, Kendall Milton looked really good as a true freshman. You got Zamir White. I mean, McIntosh, they've got a loaded backfield as always. The offensive line is coming around. I think he's the starter till the end of the year. I mean, will he lead them to a national title or the playoff? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know a ton about the kid. You know, he wasn't on anybody's recruiting radar that much. And, you know, but I mean, let's put it this way. Some unknown quarterback out of high school is going to win the SEC East, because it's either going to be him or Trask. And Trask was a career backup. So maybe we should just stop assigning five stars to quarterbacks and just give everybody two stars and they'll play better. Because, you know, I was the one who made Mondo five star, and he's again disappointing me. And Bo Nix, you know, we kind of came to consensus that he was a five star, and, you know, not writing him off yet, but he didn't look like the better quarterback.
No, he definitely didn't. You mentioned Georgia's defense. I saw Chris Fowler tweet, Georgia's no-name defense. It was like, how many five stars do we have on that no-name defense? At least three, right? I mean, what are we talking about? He's like, they're not on draft boards. It's like, what do you mean they're not? Okay, so Tyson Campbell and Richard LeCount are potential first-round picks. And then you've got, you know, Adam Anderson and a couple of other younger guys, Eric Stokes, the other DB. Yep. What's Fowler talking about? No-name defense.
They're on draft boards. And Aziz Ojulari is just a freak. He's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot him.
And you know, and LeCount, I don't feel that was targeting, and I feel bad for him because he's such a physical player. And that's your guy, you know. He was undersized, and I was sort of like, he's too small, and, you know, he's not – shouldn't be as rated as high as he is. And he's just he's a guided missile out there. But, you know, with targeting, unfortunately, he's going to get called on that a lot because that's how he tackles. But there's just no way to tell where an opponent's going to be when you come flying that fast. And that's why I don't like the disqualification for the targeting rule. But it's not a no-name defense. I think there's nobody that really emerged as a top 10 pick. You know, whereas last year on the offensive line, you could point to a couple guys and say, well, these guys are surefire first rounders. That's not the case with the defense, but they're playing themselves into that territory. And Stokes was on the NFL radar, of course, potential first rounder. LeCount, potential first rounder.
Campbell's, you know, going in the first round. I can tell you that right now. Mark that down on your Tyson Campbell. I said it the first time I saw him in high school. He was a first round pick. We had to push him up the charts, and I still think he is.
He's got to stay healthy. That's the key, but he's a freak.
And then he shut down Seth Williams. I mean, we saw what Seth Williams can do to people. I mean,
yeah. Oh, no, he was blanketing Seth Williams. I mean, it wasn't even close. There was zero separation there at all. So Nix had like 1 second to throw the ball and no separation from his best wide receiver. And, you know, Campbell versus Surtain, you know, both being potential first rounders can be really interesting because obviously one got all the attention out of high school initially, and then people started saying Tyson Campbell's pretty good. I agree with you. I think they're both going to be first rounders as long as Campbell stays healthy, you know, and as long as they run well. So that Georgia defense is, you know, arguably the best in the country. I mean, it's right up there. And if they play the way they did against Auburn, they're going to give every team a lot of trouble, including Mac and Alabama.
Okay, so let's talk about Alabama. And this is a serious question. You're going to think I'm being facetious. Can Mac Jones win the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, he can. And again, you know, I felt Bryce Young would take this job. But that offensive line is amazing. Mac's not making mistakes. He's accurate. He's got so many weapons. Yeah, he could put up crazy numbers and win the Heisman. You know, seeing him out of high school, would I ever have thought that in a million years? No. But I saw Burrow in high school, and I was like, you know, he's just average. You know, so some guys develop, some guys have a lot of talent around them, and some guys do both. And, you know, he's handed the keys to a Ferrari for sure. And they wouldn't be playing better with Bryce Young. Bryce still has a lot to learn, but I thought he would lose his job probably by the third or fourth game of the season, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, Mac is playing. He threw an interception the other day, and I noticed some of his passes are getting knocked down, and the interception was like a tipped ball at the line. That's one thing I would be a little worried about, especially when you talk about them playing somebody like Georgia. But, I mean – those wide receivers, I mean, this John Michi guy, I don't know where he came from. I don't remember him at all as a recruit. I had to look him up. I was like, is this guy somebody for JUCO or whatever? But he was like a four-star athlete. I mean, do you really remember him?
I remember him a little bit, but obviously he was overshadowed by the Devonta Smiths and Jalen Waddles and every other star guy that went there. So there's certain guys that go to Alabama and you're like, we'll see. You know, I mean, he could have been a defensive player. But this system, you also got to understand that you have to account for Devonta Smith and you have to account for Jalen Waddle. So somebody's definitely going to have single coverage. And, you know, if you could beat it, you're going to get the ball. My only concern about Mac is he underthrows balls. You know, the tipping is a concern, but, you know, guys have to wait on it a little bit, even though Waddle was so wide open. He had to wait for that ball, but he's so fast that he was able to run away from everybody. You know, the long ball needs a little bit of work, but, you know, what are we doing? Picking on a kid who had 425 yards and 4 touchdowns. Right. Yeah. And Tony, I don't know how to pronounce your name, Tony. I never will from our Alabama site. But he's been
Tsoukalos. I don't think Tony doesn't know how to pronounce his own name.
So. Probably. He's a Mac Jones guy. And, you know, every time Mac Jones does something, he hits me in my mentions. And I'm not rooting against Mac Jones. You and I both know that out of all the recruits over the last, like, 7-8 years, Mac Jones was one of our favorite. He's the nicest, funniest kid ever. And he waited his turn, and I hope he does have tremendous success. And, yeah, he could win the Heisman. Trask could win the Heisman. We know a quarterback's going to win it. It's just – it depends on who.
What's Trevor. Crazy is, I noticed Mac had his SEC graduate patch on his jersey. Because this year doesn't count, he's got like 3 years of eligibility left. So, I mean, he can win.
I'll come back. This year doesn't count. So, my man Kellen Mond can come back for a 16th year if he wants to at Texas A&M and finally live up to that 5-star. But you remember, the funniest part about Mac is how much fun he used to make of other people, how cool and calm he was. Nothing rattled him, nothing worried him. He was just so laid back, and, you know, he had some of the best lines I've ever heard about other quarterbacks. It was just hilarious.
The famous one that we can't say on the podcast, that you probably don't even know this story, is, you know, he used to make some snarky remarks about Tua because they were both committed at the same time. So there's one term that he used for Tua that gets used in my house, and I know Rob's house uses it and a couple other people. So it's a term he used to describe Tua one time, but they're friends now.
He got tired of being asked the question, why are you sticking with Alabama when Tua's going there? You know, I mean, that question comes up over and over again. And, you know, you see some kids giving up early, and you see some kids who really stick it out and wait their turn. And that's what, you know, Mac's doing, and some others are doing, and Joe Burrow did. And, I mean, he didn't do it at Ohio State, but he did it at LSU. And they're going to reap the rewards. Now, the question is he a first rounder? And, of course, I don't think he is. But, you know, if he wins the Heisman, he's going to get a lot of looks.
I don't think he's a first rounder, but I think Mac will play in the NFL. We ranked him high. I mean, you make it seem like he was a, you know, Tony wants to talk. I mean, he was 162 in the country. So, I mean, we're not.
He was just the class, you know, and that's the thing. When you're the second quarterback in a class, nobody really pays attention or cares. You know, I don't think Tua was a first rounder. We'll find out if that's true or not, but he went fifth. So who knows? The NFL's so desperate for quarterbacks. There could be as many as 5 or 6, you know, taken in the first round in April. You know, we know Trevor and Justin Fields are going to go. We know Lance is going to go. And then after that, there's going to be 2, I think. And just depends on who those 2 are and who falls in love with who. And, you know, when it's a chalk talk type of situation and smarts, Mac Jones is going to wow some people at the combine.
All right. So let's talk about Florida. Now, you mentioned it earlier with Kyle Trask, 2-star Kyle Trask.
Yeah. I mean,
the amount of times we have to hear about it during the game, first of all, he's playing excellent. Okay. Him and Pitts have an amazing connection. I mean, he just feeds Pitts the ball. Somebody referenced that it was like a video game where you purposely try to run up one guy's stats. I mean, he's clearly targeting Pitts and it's working. And some of the other guys, Grimes looks great. Tony looks great. They're both clearly healthy. How much do you attribute, like, are you on the Trask as the next, you know, kind of like Joe Burrow type guy, or do you just think he's kind of feasting on, you know, some okay competition right now?
Not sold yet about the Joe Burrow comparisons, but they were made, you know, especially by the Florida fan base last year when you talk about a guy who had a solid year but was coming back with experience with a lot more weapons around him. that he could make that type of jump. You know, it's early, but he looks sharp and he looks in control. He does have many more weapons than they're used to having. Fitz is a problem for everybody. He's a big wide receiver who, you know, essentially will probably play that hybrid role, you know, an Eric Ebron type at the NFL level, and no one can cover him. You put a safety on him, he's too big. You put a linebacker on him, forget it. And, you know, Trask has a lot of weapons. I think, though, you know, Burrow had more to work with. So Trask is one of those guys that I'm looking at. Is he going to be one of those late first round picks? And yes, he was a 5.32 star because he didn't start a game in high school. Derek King was the guy in high school. He backed him up. And again, it just speaks to Trask too, because you know how many kids would move in with a fake uncle to get in a different district. I mean, that's just the way it worked. And he didn't do that. And shout out to Nussmeier, who saw something in him and offered him, because that looked like a massive reach at the time.
Well, he was the second quarterback they took, right? I remember.
The one that was supposed to win this job in that class.
Right, right. I remember, because I remember somebody referring to him as Kyle Trash, you know, like that was the – somebody worked for us at the time, actually. But, I mean, here's the thing. They saw him throw at a camp, and they offered him, and they took him. How were we supposed to, like, Mark Jones, who I like, the announcer, I mean, how many times did he mention? He was the 2,897th prospect. Rankings don't matter. It's like, well, what are we supposed to do, Mark Jones? Rank him as a five-star kid who never played a game and didn't play a game in college until his third or fourth year? Like, what?
I don't know. Listen, you know, he must have had a great workout, you know. And again, we don't get to see behind the scenes. We get to see them throw. And that's right. We don't, you know, we're not sitting there going over plays and you know, having them diagnose a playbook or having them memorize six plays and then throwing them, you know, through the motions on those six plays 1 minute after he learned them, you know. But for quarterbacks, stars are kind of – I mean, Russell Wilson's the best quarterback in the NFL right now, and he was a two-star. You know, Mahomes was a three. Lamar Jackson was a four, and, you know, Josh Rosen was a five. And, you know, there's just so many examples of guys that either got drafted high, didn't have success like Rosen, or just came on out of nowhere and weren't even supposed to get the job. Russell Wilson was not supposed to get the quarterback job at NC State. Absolutely not.
Or at Seattle. I mean, remember when they picked him, they had just signed Matt Flynn or whatever to a huge
I had a Matt Flynn jersey, actually. I picked it up at the opening at the store out there because it looked so cool. I didn't think he was good, but it looked so cool. But yeah, Flynn was the guy. They threw all that money at him, and then they end up Russell Wilson with the best, you know, being the best quarterback. So listen, I don't care. You know, somebody just asked me that the other day at Florida Fan. What did you have Trask ranked? I'm like, 5.32 star. And then I always say after that he didn't start a game in high school. But, you know, we've had kids like Ryan Burns and Dorian Thompson Robinson and guys like that who have never started a football game and had like dozens of offers just based on camps. But for someone to go through their entire high school football season, I mean, career, and not be a starter, I can't think of somebody in 23 years that's done that other than Trask.
Right. It's because a lot of the guys you're talking about are guys who didn't start till their senior year, but then they still started. They didn't never play. I mean, it's crazy to think, but I guess, you know, behind the Eric King, I still think, you know, you could say he did the good thing by staying. I still think now he wouldn't, even now, 5-6 years later, he wouldn't have done the same thing. He would have transferred. I mean, you have to.
Yeah, the portal has changed things. You know, I do like the patience, though, and I'm glad to see kids that do wait their turn get an opportunity and take advantage of it. But, yeah, I mean, but again, like I said, in high school, he would have found a cousin of a cousin.
That's what I mean. Yeah, in high school. I'm talking about in high school. I think.
Oh, definitely. I mean, well, even back then, though, it was happening. I don't know what the family dynamic is or whatever, you know, but it all worked out for him. And it's like a one in a million shot. So all you quarterbacks out there that have never started a varsity game and never will, who think you're going to be the next Kyle Trask, you're not. It has never happened before, and I don't think it's ever going to happen again. He's a unicorn, people.
Okay. All right. Next up, Florida State. A lot of glowing reviews. Did you watch the game against Jacksonville State? Because I watched almost the entire thing.
I flipped. I did not watch the entire game.
Okay.
And when they were down, of course, I was watching. And then, you know, when they were coming back, I was watching. But once it got out of hand, I wasn't really flipping
anything. They easily could have lost that game. Okay, Jacksonville State's players were dropping like flies with cramps and stuff like that. It was their first game of the year. They're only playing like three games this fall. I mean, Jordan Travis played well, but I mean, if you're a Florida State fan, I don't think you have any reason to be happy with having to come back to beat Jacksonville State. I mean, there's just like, the bar is too low if that's the situation. Hey, they're showing progress. It's like, no, progress would be winning 55-10.
Right.
You know, like they're not very good at all. how many games are they going to win? Do you think they win three games?
Think three at most.
I think 2.5 is the over under for the year.
Yeah, went through their schedule and I included the Jacksonville State game as a win, and then I came up with three, I believe. But you know, I put them on the most disappointing teams list, and people are like, nothing was expected of Florida State. Well, you know what was expected of Florida State? That they wouldn't lose to Georgia Tech, who is it's not a good football team, and they wouldn't lose by 800 million points to Miami. So that's what's expected. This is not a good football team. There's so many problems there. And this is going to be the serious question. They gave Taggart no time, right? He was fired in his second season, I believe.
Yeah.
And Norvell's going to need four, right?
Right.
Are they going to give him that chance? And I don't think they will, unfortunately, you know? And was I happy when they fired Taggart? No. You know, I think that he probably should have gotten a better opportunity and wasn't left with much after Jimbo. But you can't blame Jimbo on this. Jimbo was 100 years ago. This is just a team and a program that doesn't have guys that want to play and win other than a few leaders. You know, Marvin Wilson, he wants to win. He wants to play. We know his work ethic and his motor. But there aren't enough of those guys buying in. And, you know, Norvell comes with a different approach. And that's why, you know, these wide receivers – you know, got upset, and that's why the team is a little bit divided from the start, and it's going to take a major rebuild and probably another coach for them to fix these things. And it, you know, it gets frustrating because when Miami was great and then Miami became very mediocre, everybody thought, oh, you love it because you hate Miami. A great Miami team is great for college football, and it's really awesome. A great Florida State team is good for college football. And this is a horrible one. And I don't know how soon they're going to be back. And I take no joy in programs that are, you know, what, 6 years removed from a national title falling this. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
Okay. So I think a good comp is Oregon. Okay. They played Oregon in that Rose Bowl. That was sort of like viewed as the beginning of the end, right? That was the game where Jameis was stumbling all over. They were supposed to win. They were big favorites. They got blown out. Oregon's in the national championship game. 2 years later, they were 4-8 and Helfrich was fired, right? They bring in Taggart for 1 year. He leaves for Florida State. Cristobal comes in and they're immediately back to being, you know, the one of the best teams in their conference and a top 10 team. Like, they won the Rose Bowl in his second year. Norvell needs to show that type of progress, in my opinion. Next year, they need to be back to, if it's assuming it's a regular season, they need to win 8 games next year. Like, I get that it's going to take a while to turn it around completely, but you can't, I mean, assuming that they go, you know, 3-7, I mean, or whatever, I mean, that's horrible for Florida State. And I don't care if you got to go get transfers or what you got to do, but I mean, you have to do something. And maybe when Purdy comes back, he's the answer, but it's not looking good. To me, when you watched him play, like you said, I mean, there's a lot of dead weight on the team. There's a lot of guys that I think are kind of like, you know, front runner type guys. And I don't know, man. It reminds me of the end of like Butch Jones at Tennessee. I mean, there's a lot of talent on that team, but I just don't see it when you watch them play.
Yeah, they're not buying in. It's been that way for a while. You know, it was that way, I think, the last season Jimbo was there. I think everybody on the team knew he was, you know, sort of giving up on him. And, you know, he sort of stopped recruiting. It was that way under Taggart. And, you know, I expect effort, at least. And I'm not saying that they're not trying, but they have no answer and they're frustrated and they're just not going to win many football games this year. And, you know, like I said, Norvell's going to be under tremendous pressure early because of how quickly they got rid of Taggart. That's it. So he better win next year. It's right now, it looks like they don't have a team to win next year, or else we'll be looking again at another coaching surf.
I'll tell you what, real quick before we move on, I really like the running back, the freshman running back, Tufele, I think is his name. He's from Tampa area. In my opinion, he's their best running back. Got to give him some more time. But I mean, I've watched like every snap of Florida State season. I don't know how I've done it, but
anyway. I watched Georgia Tech. Because Georgia Tech was on when no one else was on, and then you know Miami Florida State was the only really interesting game at that time too. But I didn't watch Jacksonville State that much. There were other like real football games.
See, when one of these train wreck games is happening, I lock in. I mean, you know, I've got four screens here and I'm like, okay, you know, Tennessee's struggling with Georgia State. I'm watching the whole thing. Florida State is, and I really like Zarek Cooper, the Jacksonville State quarterback who I ranked really high. Speaking of which, like, you know, he transferred before, you know, it was waiver time. He had to drop down a level to play right away. Now he would have immediately had a spot at a place like Florida State. So it's just kind of weird to see that. Real quick, the Pac-12 coming back, they're doing 9 a.m. kicks. I want to talk about this. I think it's ridiculous. Now, I guess it's good for us because we get to watch them at noon, but I mean, I can't imagine what it's going to be like for the players to play a game at 9 o'clock in the morning.
No, nobody wants to do that at all. You know, you have your typical Pac-12 game day preparation, which you're used to, and now they're going to rush them out there. You know, we know how sleepy West Coast kids are sometimes, you know. We've seen it at camps.
Let's tell everybody, we have to fly them in a day early to acclimate to the time zone when we have camps and like all-star games. So,
and they're the last we have to pull out of bed to get there as well. So listen, 9 a.m. start on the East Coast, it's not good, but on the West Coast, it's a recipe for disaster. I don't know why they're doing that. Did they explain the reasoning?
Well, so they're trying to leverage the TV money, but I mean, none of this would have happened if Larry Scott wouldn't have botched the Pac-12 network so badly. And now they've laid off the whole staff at the Pac-12 network, so they don't even know if they're going to be able to broadcast games, like, on their own channel. Like, Larry Scott's got to go. I'm sorry. Look, Larry, I don't want to tell somebody to lose their job, especially considering how many people want me to lose my job on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I hear you. But I don't like doing that either, but Kevin Warren and Larry Scott got to go.
If you remember the old guy, I'm trying to remember his name. It was like Jim Hansen or something. He was like the Mr. Protector of the Rose Bowl. Do you remember him? The old Pac-12 commissioner?
Yeah.
And when Larry Scott came in, it was like, man, this guy's a genius. Oh, he's going to modernize everything. And now if you read the articles about the money there, I mean, like Larry Scott got this huge bonus for himself and then they laid off the entire staff at the Pac-12 network. I mean, come on, man. Like the president's got to do better out there to say, look, I mean, we need someone. This is, you've got Silicon Valley. You've got Hollywood. Like, you've got Seattle. You're telling me there's not a smart CEO out there that can take over the Pac-12? I mean, USC is playing the first game at 9 a.m. USC is one of like the top five brands in all of college football, don't you think?
Yeah, even with, you know, the struggles they've had recently. Yeah, everybody knows USC and wants to watch them.
Why are they playing it? Oh, they play at 9 a.m. Like, come on, man. Like, they should be in prime time, like, basically every single game, as long as they're good. And I think they're going to be good this year. So, Larry's got to go. I'm on the move.
They were supposed to get Texas, remember? I mean.
Oh, I remember. I bought Pac-16Football.com, the URL. I was going to cash in and be a millionaire. I was going to be like, I was going to have Larry Scott money.
Yeah, and that's really been, you know, not the beginning of the downfall, but a big part of the downfall. And maybe they don't think people won't be as interested in, you know, Pac-12 versus Pac-12 at night or something. I don't know what they think. I really don't. I'm not a West Coast guy. I never have been. I don't know. I know how frustrating it is to go through this process for a guy like Cristobal, who is, you know, he's an SEC type of mentality. And watching his team opt out and watching this postponement and then the delay and now they're coming back. I mean, it's literally drives a person like that nuts.
Right. They had a team that I think they thought like, hey, we'll be in the playoff mix. And next thing you know, you got 5-6 guys going to the NFL draft instead of playing because they're not sure if they even if they win all their games, they're not sure if they have a chance to even make the playoffs. So.
Right. They're still the best team, I think. But USC, I think, also had a really good chance of having a good team this year and, you know, being competitive in those games against Notre Dame and Alabama. I really do believe that. There's so much talent. I don't believe in Clay Helton, you know, because I haven't seen the recruiting that I expect. You know, for them to get guys in Texas and Florida is great, but it's not like what Pete Carroll used to do when he's getting Keith Rivers from Florida and you know, going elsewhere to get the top kid in each state. The West Coast kids are still leaving. But USC has a lot of roster talent for sure. So I thought either them or Oregon would make a push for the playoff. But now, even if they're 7-0, I think they're going to be left out.
All right. I want to do this every week. Farrell's Heisman favorite. So who's on the top of your list right now? Just off the top of your head.
Top of my head, I mean – obviously Trevor's up there, and I know people are going to say, well, of course you have him up there. He's, you know, five star and all that. He's just an amazing football player. And, you know, they get criticized when they beat Virginia by that much, you know, so he's not going to put up the stats of everybody else. And that's the problem because he's not going to be in there as much. Right now, my front runner would be Trask. Wow. I think the two games that he put together are extremely impressive. De'Aaron King would be up there as well. But we haven't seen Justin Fields play. And I'm not including running backs here because even in a regular season when a running back gets 2,000 yards, they get invited and then they never get picked. So in a shortened season, you know, Travis Etienne's not going to get that. Najee Harris isn't going to get that. So I'm just looking at quarterbacks. It's not fair. And I think Mac Jones, if he continues to play the way he is up there too. Who am I missing?
I don't know. I think that's a pretty good list. I mean,
Elliger's done. Rattler done. You know, Rattler was considered an early favorite when he threw for 1,000 yards against a crappy football team. But you got to think quarterback on a team that could win the national title. And, you know, that's it.
Well, and this week's going to be big. King against Lawrence. I mean, that will be a chance for Trevor to have, you know, one of the problems I think he has is they blow all these teams out and he's not putting up big numbers. This is a marquee game. This is going to be the one that everyone's talking about. And for King too, I mean, if they beat Clemson, he'll jump to the top of the list because obviously he's going to be running all over the place and making plays. So, all right. Another thing I wanted to kind of do like a Mike Farrell versus Pro Football Focus type of situation. Okay. So who's someone that you love this season that's been playing well, and then we're going to compare him with his Pro Football Focus grades?
Oh, God. I can pick any position?
Any position, any player. I'm going to look him up right now. This has we I didn't prep you on this or anything. So
I'm going to troll you then. Ready?
Are you going to pick Trey Smith?
I'm going to pick Trey Smith.
And then you played. See, but here's the problem. You played right into my hand.
You're the evil G. I didn't know this was going to happen. So I'm Trey Smith.
Okay, so Trey Smith, so far, if you had to guess his offensive grade on the season, where would you have it? Letter grade. You're probably getting like an A, right?
Probably be a B plus or an A minus.
All right, so he's at 71.4 on the season. So that would be about a solid C. He's only allowed one hurry and one pressure, though, on the year, which I think is pretty good. But his pass blocking grade, 65.1. That's what kills him always, is the pass blocking grade. His career pass blocking grade has never hit above a 68. So
let me do one.
Well, you know, Mike Renner, who works at Pro Football Focus and is their draft guy, who I talk to a lot, telling me he's a first-round pick. And I'm like, well, do your own grades apply to these?
I don't think they do.
So,
I mean, what was Andrew Thomas last year?
Okay, so this is a good exercise that I like to do it, because we've seen a lot of people don't believe in the grades as much as it. You know, I'm a believer, right?
You are, and I'm not as much of a believer. But Andrew Thomas last year went what, top six in the draft?
Yeah, Andrew Thomas finished the season with a grade of 92.7.
Wow. Okay. All right. PFF got that right. All right. Pull up Isaiah Wilson while you're at it.
I can't imagine his would be as good. I wonder what his grade is. Has he played at all in the NFL?
Didn't he get COVID?
He got COVID. He got arrested.
He hasn't played yet.
His grade last year was 80.4 overall, 84.6 as a pass blocker. So.
Is not very good then, because I mean, that's Isaiah Wilson is a late first rounder, wasn't expected to be a first rounder, was on that fringe. So Trey Smith right now would grade out as a second rounder. Now that I know we're doing this, because you hit me with that one by surprise, of course, as you always do, I got a few names in mind I'll use moving forward just to check though, but I don't look at the PFF stuff that much, and you do, so I think it's very interesting to see that, because. You know, we all know there's been offensive linemen who have been named, you know, SEC first team or all rookie, you know, freshman, whatever, that had horrible grades. So a lot of it's, I think, a lot of hype out of high school, and rather than digging.
What anybody has to like about Trey is, I mean, you see the plays where he just kills people, you know, like right. He just tosses dude, or he just smashes guys to the ground. And I think, you know, especially when you have these former offensive linemen on Twitter that like to highlight those plays, I think those flash a lot and kind of shape the perception. I think he's very good. I'm not saying he's bad, but I do think a little dive into the data is warranted. So,
I will tell you this, and I did say this on the VolQuest board, and of course I got annihilated. I said, if Trey ends up as a second round pick, we rated him properly. What do we have him, 50th in the country?
Yeah, 49th, I think.
And everybody else had him top 32 for sure, and most higher than that, like top 10. So if he comes out and becomes a second-round pick, we had him right where he belongs.
Right, and, you know, obviously he's had the health issues. I mean, I think you and I both, if he's a first-round pick, we'll say congratulations, you know, like he's overcome a lot. He has a great personal story. So, I mean, the issue is I was always down on him because I thought he was a guard. Everyone thought he was a franchise left tackle. I thought he was a guard, and what are these playing guard, you know? So, I mean, that's
about the level of competition, because the kids he was throwing around in high school were just like.
Right. No, they weren't great.
I think it's staff I can compare them to, like Gornies.
Yeah, they were. Well, that was But part of my reasoning, too, and I was suspicious of him, was because those guys were sending me their video every week of them beating him around the edge. I was getting like, hey, I went against Trey Smith and I had a sack. And I was like, yeah. You look like me, you know. So.
I'll remember, it is the most egregious ranking error in the history of ranking.
Oh, yeah. Somebody did tell us that.
Mm-hmm. Was the word used? I think.
Say that again.
I think the word egregious was used.
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember the stare of those blue steel eyes staring me to 2 feet away from my face about how of a ranking it was. There's no
distancing then, right?
We're not going to give up who it was. All right, let's move on. We went too far. Now, next segment. I came up with all these segments for you.
Oh, great.
This is the Mike Farrell, does he know that this five-star is playing in the NFL player of the week?
This is good because I never know these. I love these.
This week says Tyron Johnson, five-star.
Yes, for the Chargers. Yes. I was so excited when he caught that touchdown pass that I went to his Twitter to make sure that that was the same Tyron Johnson, right? And he had unfollowed me, and I was so hurt. But I still had that little message box where I could have sent something to him. But I said, you know what? If you're going to follow me, you're dead to me. Well, but I know he caught a long touchdown pass, and I love that kid out of high school. So, yes, I know he's in the NFL, and he's playing for the Chargers.
Here's the thing. This is why I included him. I watched the play happen live, and it didn't even register in my brain. I was like, who's this Johnson? I'd never heard of that. You know, it didn't even click with me until I saw it on Twitter later. Someone else was like, oh, he's been doing this since high school. And I was like, oh, wait, that's the Tyron Johnson. That's our guy. I loved as a recruit. I mean,
in the history of Rivals camps, the only two-time MVP at different camps.
It was back-to-back days, wasn't it?
Yeah. Was it back-to-back days?
It was like Hattiesburg, New Orleans. I don't know if it was.
Yeah, I think New Orleans was first. And then I think the following week we did Hattiesburg in Birmingham. And he drove all the way out to Mississippi. He was already invited to the five-star challenge. He just drove to Mississippi to dominate that. And then he was hitting me up, just a few months ago for high school video. Remember?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of people, were bored during the quarantine, wanted to see their video.
Right. And I think he unfollowed me during the touchdown catch, actually, because we had been talking and we had gotten him some video and stuff. And we tweeted out some video of him in high school. And, you know, always a kid that I liked. And then I went and saw. At least he didn't block me, though. I'm still blocked by Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins. Still.
He made his account private at one point, too. So I wouldn't take it too personally if he unfollowed you. He might have done like a.
I do, though. I take it personally.
I know, but believe me, we all know that you do. But anyway, good for him. How about that throw by Herbert, huh? That was 60 yards in the air.
He's looking really, really good. So is Allen. I mean, these are the guys that are, you know, projects, first-rounders that are reaches. And then you got, you know, a bunch of other guys that are first-rounders that are just playing horribly. So it's good to see, you know, those types. It's going to screw us up because now – we're looking for the next 6'5" mobile quarterback with a cannon arm. Well, and you know, 20 of them are going to suck, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't, you know, Herbert is another story of a guy who was injured, who, you know, just kind of wasn't on our radar at all and committed late. You know, he was a weird story, and, you know, we ranked him as a mid 3-star, and at that time, we weren't sure Oregon was hitting. Oregon had missed on several quarterbacks after Mariota, so we didn't know that he was going to be the guy. But all right, before we wrap up, I'm getting all types of messages on my screen. Let's talk a little recruiting. Let's talk about Amarius Mims. You and Chad had an article, The Making the Case, came out. You're predicting Georgia. He's supposed to announce when? Sometime this month?
Yeah, so here's what Chad did to me, or whoever on the editorial side. They decided to run a Making the Case with a verdict the weekend he's at Tennessee, and run it the weekend he's at Tennessee. He's going to Georgia next week, and then he decides the week after that. So, you know, it's between me and you, I think it's 50-50 between Georgia and Tennessee. But I chose UGA just because they're the in-state school, and they were the school that was linked with him the longest. But, you know, behind the scenes, he's been to Tennessee numerous times. He's been to Georgia, of course, plenty of times. I'm just guessing because Georgia's going to get the last visit on campus. But then people are saying, well, he's going to watch them play Tennessee, or, you know, I don't know where he's going. I don't. But Chad hit me up and he's like, should I do my Chad?
Yeah, do a Chad impression.
All right. Mike, I need your work on making a case. Can you shoot me that real quick? We're going to run that this weekend. And then I say to Chad, I'm like, he's not deciding for a couple of weeks. He's still got visits. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know. They got on a budget this weekend. We got to push it out. I'm like, all right, I'm going to pick Georgia. He goes, I said, well, I got two, but it's close, you know? And none of that actually occurred because he just texted me, but it's more fun to like imitate Chad vocally. It's much more fun.
I think you're talking. I think Chad's a little slow. I think his drawl is a little more
this dry. Chad, you know, on my coffee. This is my hyped up Chad.
Okay. I'll do a Chad later. I'm not going to bust out my Chad now because I didn't have a conversation with him about that. But
on the staff that I have a invitation for, I think.
Everybody has one of me that just involves sounding nasally and cussing a lot, right?
I mean, have one of you. I do have one of you, like, on Twitter. Like, you know, I could tweet stuff that you would say, but not voice-wise. I can't do the voice.
Okay.
I really enjoy doing it. I've been doing it for, I don't know, Chad used to work for Rivals in the mid-2000s, and then he came back. So I've been doing it for 20 years now.
All right. Okay. Anything else? Yeah, I know you said you wanted to vent a little bit. Sometimes gets anything you want to get off your chest about the NFL, anything else before we wrap up here?
No, I mean, I guess I'm intrigued about Corey Foreman's visit to USC this past weekend and what that means, because he's been to LSU twice. And after he visited Georgia, we were told it was over. But him and Mason Smith have become buddies, and I'm just curious if USC can keep him home. As far as a rant, well, all right, I'll do it. And you're a UCF guy.
No, okay. But
my mentions last week were appalling. Very mean, very mean-spirited. Even our own UCF publisher trolled me.
When I would have seen that. I would have got in on the action.
When I said that UCF was, you know, a solid team, but they would not beat Florida. And I think it would be a very close game against Miami, and they would roll Florida State. And everybody, all the UCF fans, they came out of the woodwork, as they always do. And they were chirping in my ear, you know, calling me every name in the book, blah, blah, blah. I put up a tweet yesterday saying that I hadn't really heard anything from UCF. Crickets, nothing. Just Gator fans and Miami fans saying, you know, this, that, the other. But those USCF fans have gone away. And I don't miss them, but I'm just like, I had to get that off my chest because they were so mean to me.
Well, here's the thing. I'm mean to you. I went to UCF, and I'm very mean to you all the time anyway. So, you know what? They don't like me either. I'm not like them. I don't get invited back to my own alma mater. I don't get invited to speak when they invite the prestigious alums of the Nicholson School of Communication. I got a call one time, and I came back there, and, you know, I think I might have made some people mad with some things I said about the student newspaper or whatever. The bottom line is they wouldn't beat Florida. Now, I'm not saying this in hindsight. They make too many mistakes. You can't have 10 false starts every single game and expect to win. They should have easily won that game against Tulsa. They were up 25-6. I mean, and they lost. So, or 26-5, am I? Whatever the score was. It was a weird score.
Oh, Woody.
Huh?
They had so many people opt out. Don't forget.
Yeah, they lost. Well, yeah, that's the thing. They had 12 people opt out, and I keep hearing on other podcasts, oh, none of them are contributors. Where two of them are going to be drafted. So, I mean, do 1 second of research and look at the players that opted out before you say they didn't. If you lose 12 scholarship players, you're talking about, you have 85. You know what I mean? You're talking about 15% of your roster is gone. So anybody gets hurt, you're shorthanded. And when Trey Nixon got hurt against Georgia Tech, their offense kind of sputtered around. So, I mean, Tulsa's got their number for whatever reason. I think Tulsa's beat them 8 of 9.
They lost to a reputable group of five team that I wouldn't have made this a thing. But, I mean, they lost to Tulsa. That's just not good. You can't beat your chest and say you're the best team in the state of Florida and then lose to Tulsa the next week. You just can't. I'm sorry. So it's not my fault you lost. I wasn't playing on the other team. I wasn't coaching. I wasn't even rooting against you. But, man, they are a great fan base that just comes out of the woodwork when you say something.
Well, it's kind of like, and I mean, I guess I get where they're coming from, is it's like, you know, it's like an inferiority complex situation where, you know, and I personally liked what they did with the national championship thing because it put their name on everybody's radar. A lot of it was tongue in cheek. Some people take exception to it, and people say it to me all the time. Oh, national champs. It's like, yo, guess what? You know, like, your school hasn't won 10 games in my lifetime. Okay. UCF's been to like 4 New Year's Day bowls in the last decade. So, I mean, they must be doing something right. I would have to, I have to imagine.
They're good, but I had to mention that. So why don't we make that the fan base troll of the week? Okay. Last, it was just, they were trolling the hell out of me and calling me everything.
I had my UCF graduation tassel back here somewhere. I lost it. I don't know where it is. I should have dangled it out for that. But
and my camera will be more eye level, and I won't be propping it against my monitor with a bag of hefty bags.
Didn't you buy one of these lights I told you to buy?
Yeah, it's right there. Am I too dark?
Well, no, it has a mount for your phone that goes right in the middle, and you can adjust.
No. Now, the one they gave me, no mount. They sent me the cheapest. I mean, this microphone I have is horrible. No, this light is horrible.
I told you to buy it. Did you buy the new light I told you to buy?
No, I'll buy it because this is ridiculous. I've been holding this trash bag thing up for 40.
Here's the last thing I want to talk about before we go. This is not football related. Now, I know you don't get out much, Mike. Not even during non-pandemic times you don't leave. But have you gone anywhere a lot of these places switch to the square method. That means they use the iPad. They flip it around, you touch it, you sign it. Well, now that we have, you know, COVID-19, we're not doing that, right? So last few times I've been to like a coffee shop, normally they would flip it around and do it to you, but you're 6 feet away. They say, do you want to leave a tip? And I was at a place the other day, I got 2 coffees, it was like $12. And he's like, do you want to leave a tip? I've got my mask on. And I was like, yeah, sure. And, how much? Well, $2. And he's like, I can't hear you. And I'm like, $2, you know? So I'm sitting here yelling. I have to yell the tip amount I want to give to the dude. There's people around. It's a total nightmare. Have you experienced this?
No, I will tell you, since March, this is no lie, I have been inside 3 buildings with other human beings. 3.
So you're not going to the grocery store or stuff like that?
Instacart. All the way. Instacart all the way. A little plug for them. Drive through everything, coffee-wise. I've been to the doctors a couple times, and they wouldn't, you know, do a phone one because they had to actually physically look at me. And the other exception was I had to send our taxes. I forgot our taxes, and I had to go into the post office and have it stamped for that day in July because it would have been late and I would have got a penalty. So other than that, I am outside enjoying the fresh air. But the does Mike Farrell use this technology? That's a good weekly one too, because I don't know what Square is. anything on my own. Oh shucks, man. I don't know. I just don't know. No, I don't do any of that stuff. So I did get in Dunkin' Donuts line last week to get my 2 extra large pumpkin spice, heavy on the cream, and they charged it to the woman in front of me, who was very angry old woman, and she would refuse to leave the drive-in line for 25 minutes until they refunded them. So I sat there, and she wouldn't even buy the coffees for me you know, like pay it forward. So I haven't been back to Dunkin' Donuts since then.
Well, that's her fault. That's not Dunkin's fault. By the way, you got to get, we talked about it offline. You got to get that Dunkin' app rolling, get those free.
I do have it. And then the method of payment stopped working. And I haven't been able to figure it out since.
Okay. Well, we need to work on that in our spare time. But anyway, all right, that wraps it up. Mike, we'll be back next week on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday, depending on our availability. But every week throughout the season, you can hear me and Mike on our various podcast feeds. So please subscribe and leave a review either on Godfather and Gorney or on the commitment issues. And you and Gorney will have a show probably later in the week, right?
Yeah, if we can figure it out between the two of us, we're going to try to figure out how to record the Zoom. And by the two of us, I mean me, because Gorney is less technically advanced than I am. Like, this was a guy who was literally faxing in his receipts to a number without filling an expense report for like a year.
I forgot about that. Oh, that was the thing he was doing.
He's like, I'm faxing in the receipts. I'm like, did you fill out the expense report? No. Shouldn't they know my name's on the receipts? I'm like, I just picture this pile as high as Gorney in some Sunnyvale office with all these receipts coming out of it with no expense reports. That was so. I got to figure out how to record Zoom because Gorney's not going to help.
Yeah, because we want to be able to watch on YouTube as well, which I'm working on doing
hooks and stuff with my right arm as it's locked right now. And
okay, and hey. On Commitment Issues feed, I did interview our boy Kirk from Floribama Shore.
I like him.
Yeah, to preview Miami and Clemson. So he actually did. He really knew what he was talking about. I mean, sometimes you get these celeb fans on, and they don't. He was dropping Rhett Lashley, and he was dropping deep cuts. So
well, he's also not an ass. When I put up something about, you know, Pitts being the number one tight end in the country, you know, a lot of Miami fans just berated me because their 6'1.5" tight end is the best tight end in the NFL draft. He was like, nah, I get it. Pitts is really good, but Breon's good too. And I agree with him, but he wasn't like these other guys who just come at me and like, you're an idiot. You're stupid. You suck. So I like him. And he's right. one of my followers who has the most following. So I got to be nice to him.
That's right. So check that out later in the week. All right, Mike, thanks a lot. I'll talk to you later.
See ya.